The ship which was to carry the supplies broke down shortly after leaving the port, which was a spaceport and not on the home planet. The problem was massive, far-reaching. The malfunction was of such proportions that it could not be locally repaired on the spot. It was necessary to return to facilitate the repairs. It was this return that caused the extreme delay. Because at this time we work on distances, as you on Earth do now. Our speed is much greater, however, so we can cover greater distances in less time. I'm speaking of terms of 1984, both in standards of time and distance. There is a necessity to integrate these two times, you see, because I am still the person I am here in this room. It becomes necessary to delineate or to explain the differences, because this is something we are learning. And that is that we are all of these things at once. This was a strange occurrence for me. I had never had a subject in regression be able to compare the time period he was watching with the present lifetime, unless they were in very light trance. In light states they find what they are seeing confusing and often try to justify it or compare it to something they are familiar with. This does not happen in the deeper states, thus I was taken off guard. Normally when they are as deep into trance as Phil now was, the present ceases to exist for them. They are totally immersed in what they are experiencing. But I was soon to learn that I was dealing with a totally different type of energy from any I had worked with before. It would continue to become stronger with each session. I eventually found The Lost Colony, 13. These comparisons very helpful. Otherwise I might have been lost with nothing familiar to identify with. This was something I had not even considered when I yearned to explore lives in outer space. The fact that the subject might not be able to translate what he was seeing due to lack of comparisons. Well, even though the delay caused the deaths of the scientists, I want you to understand that it wasn't your fault. There wasn't anything anyone could have done about that. No. But the burden is still carried. It's not a burden of guilt, it's a burden of sorrow. Regret and sorrow. What do we plan to do now? We were debating whether to return the bodies to the home planet or to leave them. The consensus was to leave them. For their sake, to let them lie, as it was felt they would have wished this. It was felt they would have given their lives proudly for such a mission, and so the decision was to allow them to remain. And the 12th member was buried. The records and samples which had been collected to that point, only those things which were of importance were gathered to be removed from the planet. The feelings are shared among the seven, which has given rise to a consensus among us, that no colony should be dispatched from such a distance that this could happen again. But you know how pioneers and explorers are. They always want to go farther. We are not the ones who would dictate to those who would want to explore at those distances. The scientists will do as they wish, and we are in complete support of them. But it is our consensus as being the ones to supply, that it should not be allowed any farther than is necessary. I did not want him to bring any of these guilt feelings forward into his conscious life. I am very careful not to allow anything from past lives to seep through and unduly influence this life. I want you to realize that it is through no fault of your own that this thing happened. You know that, don't you? It was nothing that you yourself were personally responsible for. That is understood. 14. The keepers of the garden. It was already obvious that a load had been lifted from him, a load that he had not even been consciously aware of. It was interesting to me that although these creatures appeared strange in comparison to Earthlings and undoubtedly would have frightened us if we had come across one of them, they possessed very human emotions and admirable traits that we can readily identify with. I don't know what I was expecting. Because of our conditioning, I don't believe I expected them to be so human. Many stories seem to portray these creatures as having no emotions at all, and this idea makes them appear even more alien to us. I thought Phil might be repulsed by the idea of having once lived as such a strange-looking creature, but surprisingly it did not bother him. He said it was a very profound experience because it felt so real. He felt very close to the people on the spaceship, he knew they worked very well together. So the reason for not wishing to explore this scene had nothing to do with their appearance or the fact that he had had a previous existence as an alien being, but the emotions the incident carried. Chapter 3, The Spaceship. My curiosity surfaced again. I had always wished to have someone regress to a life on another planet, and I would certainly not pass up this opportunity to find out about beings from outer space. So in order to take his attention away from the painful memories, I asked about the spaceship. P, it's round and silver. There's a dome on the very top, in the center. It's not for guidance, it's used for viewing, looking around. To the left is a window and a control panel. To the immediate forward of the hatch there are some tubes. The ship has two levels. The one area upstairs is all one room. The navigation equipment is on this level. There are four sleeping rooms and a science lab downstairs. The main area was a round room approximately 30 feet in diameter. A ladder or crawlway was used to go from one floor to the other. D. What type of material is the ship made from? P. This material is a very dark, dull gray. It does not shine. It is much harder in nature and more resilient than is the material used for building on the surface of the home planet. This is not metal from the planet, it is imported. The trade routes which are established bring this metal from other neighboring planets where it is mined and smelted. P. Not at this time. It might possibly in the future, but it is not equivalent to anything here at this time. The texture could be 15. The keepers of the garden, D. P. D. P, D, P, D, compared with the strongest metal that could possibly be made on Earth. I could compare it to a diamond in strength, but this would not be accurate. The diamond has different visible properties which make its strength. Even if it were possible, a diamond would not hold its strength were it put into a sheet. Are these ships constructed on your home planet? Pause. This is hard to say. I don't think I can answer that right now. This is not something that is allowed to be talked about. For some reason, this is not so much a disallowment as a lack of knowledge, as I am not familiar enough with the manufacturing process. Can you see how the ship is operated? The controls are operated by touch. Is this the way it is strudder guided? This is the way the commands are given. This is not how it is accomplished. There has to be an interface between those who are guiding and that which is guiding. And this interface is touch. This allows the operator to tell the equipment what it is supposed to do. There are areas on the console which are touched for a given command. It might help to clarify the idea of the touch controls by illustrating how some appliances here on Earth today react to touch. There are what is called in the technical circles, touch-sensitive devices, which are not moving parts. They are sensitive to or are changed in their nature by touch. Are you familiar with this? Have you seen TVs, televisions which change channels merely by touching? I think so. Those are the new ones. It was obvious that Phil was drawing on his knowledge of television repair for comparison with the devices he was seeing. P, the fuel of the ship is. It uses crystal power. The crystal is the channel or a filter which focuses cosmic energies and directs them to generate thrust. The crystal is approximately 2 feet tall and somewhat more around. It's in the shape of two circular pyramids base to base with the points pointed outward trapezoidal. D. Are the pyramids round with smooth sides or do they have facets? P. The sides are faceted. And they are flat on the very tip top ends of the funnels. The spaceship, 17, versus C4,R0/GI, the keepers of the garden. When he awakened later, I had him draw a picture of the crystal to try to determine the shape more accurately. The tips of the pyramids were not pointed, but had been squared off. See drawing, P. These are natural crystals which have been shaped for their specific function. They are made or cut specifically for this purpose. Different functions would require a different shape. In fact, we are doing this on this planet Earth now in a small way. The knowledge was lost and is now returning. D. Where's the crystal located in the ship? P. The crystal is in the exact center of the ship, on the first level. D. Can you see the crystal, or is it enclosed in something? P. It's supported. But you can see it. D. Is it safe to be around the crystal? I remembered from the Jesus material, Jesus and the essence, that people had to stay away and not touch the giant crystal at Qumran. I thought maybe this crystal might be capable of burning or harming people near it. P. It's not safe to touch it or to mess with it while it's being used because it will change the emanations. Not that it would harm anyone physically, but it would cause the ship to alter its course. The emanations are directed and moving the crystal would change the emanations. D. Where you are from, do they use the crystals for other things? P. For all kinds of things, for heating and cooking and travel, for as many uses as you use your power sources. D. And for each use it is shaped in a different way? P. That would be a rough analogy, yes. Once a crystal is shaped, it's set. Except for a few special incidents or circumstances, it would ruin it to try to reshape it. It is the same type of crystal, but it can be used for different energies. The propulsion energy is different. It is another type of energy from the cooking and heating energy. The difference between heating in general and cooking in general would be a more central focusing. In cooking, the focus would be much more defined. D. If a crystal could be used to cook and heat, wouldn't that type of crystal be dangerous to a physical person? P. Certainly. The continent of Atlantis on this earth was destroyed, the spaceship, 19, by a crystal. That should give you an idea of the power that is available. Any energy can be used for good or not, depending on the user. Certainly, people can be harmed by these energies, but in a more positive light they can be helped tremendously. D. Does the crystal on the ship create its own power or does it draw it from somewhere else? P. It simply focuses the power that is in the universe. It is all around us now, even as we speak, so you can see that it doesn't harm anyone to be in this power, for obviously it's not harming us now. It's not a power source which any of us on Earth have any experience with at this time. It comes from many sources. From suns. From the energy of the universe which is and could be called God. The God energy which permeates everywhere and everything. There are cosmic energies, astral energies, focal energies, there are many kinds of energies which can be used for many different purposes. This was becoming confusing to me, so I changed the subject. D. What type of position do you have on that ship? P. Crew member. Not captain, but one who assists in the day-to-day functions of the crew. My job would be making sure that the different systems of the ship are operating as they should. In other words, watching the machinery and not the charts, which would be a navigator. D. Are there lots of machinery on the ship? P. There is enough equipment to do the job and that's all that's necessary. It is not crowded. It is not uncomfortable to be on the ship. D. Is the equipment mechanical? Electrical? P. It's physical, yes. It works off energies, electrical, hydraulic, pneumatic, static, dynamic. As many different ways as a ship nowadays in modern times would have here on Earth. The same physical principles. D. But if something has moving parts, it is capable of breaking down. P. Very definitely. They sometimes break down and it would be my job to repair these broken parts or replace them if they cannot be repaired. We carry those items which are needed to fix. Our parts don't break down that often. The manufacturing process has been defined and refined to such a high level that defects are, 20, the keepers of the garden, D, P, D, P, D, P, D, P, D, P, D, P, rare. However, they do occur and this is unfortunate because this was what happened in the case of the scientists on this mining planet. This was such an incidence. Are there systems on board the ship that you especially take care of? For the most part the navigation and thrusting equipment, the crystal and its support systems, are my job. This is mostly just one system. It doesn't run throughout the ship. There are several systems. Several different systems which accomplish these multiple tasks, but they are pretty much located in one part of the ship. Could you look at some of these systems and describe their functions? The one in the center, the crystal, it has a twofold purpose, guidance and thrust. In other words, this crystal can sense direction and position, and also generates thrust. There are support systems which allow this to be accomplished, but the crystal itself does the actual functioning. I'm trying to visualize the way these things operate, and try to understand as best I can. Are there wires connected to the crystal? No, there's no direct connection. There are energy fields which convey the power and information, so to say. Do you use the principle of electricity in the ship? Not as it is known here on Earth. There is the use of energy, but it is not the equivalent of electricity. What about illumination on the ship? These are done through crystals also, or types of crystals, which give off light when stimulated by certain energies. These are not separate, individual crystals. There are many pieces of. He had difficulty explaining. The closest equivalent would be the phosphor in a fluorescent tube. But this phosphor's equivalent is not in a vacuum. It is on the ceiling and in the ceiling itself. The energy is directed through the ceilings to cause these crystals to give off their light. So, effectively, the whole ceiling becomes a light. Upon awakening, he said the light on the ship could be understood as looking like powdered glass sprayed on the walls or ceiling. The crystals were that small, many tiny pieces, and when the energy went through them it caused them to glow. D. Would there be anything in the ship equivalent to a computer as we know it? The spaceship, 21, p. Not in the processing aspect. The computer here on Earth takes information and processes it. The systems on the ship take energy and direct it. There is not processing or a changing, but merely a directing. D. Would this type of ship be a vehicle that uses anti-gravitation, anti-gravity? P. The term anti-gravity is for the most part accurate. However, the substance is not anti-gravity. By this, what I mean is, anti-gravity is accomplished. The energies used are cosmic energies. There is not a force which is the reverse of gravity. There is, or are, forces which can be used to defeat the pull of gravity. However, these are not the dark side or mirror images of gravity. D. That is what I have heard : that these craft would have to somehow repel gravity in order to fly. P. Not so much repel as overcome. It would be more along the lines of magnetism, where a pulling or a pushing would be affected. Do you see? I really didn't. I was trying to gather information that someone else who had more knowledge about these things might be able to understand. D. I'm assuming these are the same type of craft that people have seen in our Earth isthmus. P. There are many different types of craft seen around this planet. Some are three-dimensional, some are fourth-dimensional. What is seen is not necessarily the same each time. D. People can't understand the tremendous speeds that these vehicles have been observed at. P. This is accomplished by riding circuits of energy. There are circuits of energy which connect different parts of the galaxies to each other, and by merely putting oneself on these circuits and by proper direction of the energies, one can be propelled at extremely fast speeds. These craft use the principles of levitation and common space travel by the solar winds or rivers. There are between systems of stars and planets vast rivers of energy which flow through the universe, and so it is a simple matter to align one's craft with these vast rivers and to simply go with the flow, so to say. Not unlike the concept of using river navigation on this planet Earth. D. Their incredible maneuverability is by these different currents? 22. The keepers of the garden, P. That is right. The equivalent would be a magnet. Riding a magnetic field. D. I imagine it will be a long time before the people of Earth can duplicate these feats. P. Not so long. Not so long as one might think. There are people working with this energy right now. This is not so far away in Earth's evolution. There is a train in Japan which uses a rough analogy of this phenomenon. It is suspended on magnetism. It is propelled along a magnetic field. There are magnets where the conventional tracks would be, they hold electromagnets. And the magnets are alternatively turned on and off, with the magnets always moving toward the destination, which allows the train to be pulled along. The magnets on the train are repelled from the magnets which make up the track, and will this way propel the train or rather its magnetic field toward its destination. D. Then your ship operates in a similar principle? P. Somewhat similar. There is a pull on the end of the ship toward the destination and a repulsion on the end of the ship from the point which has just been left, so that these currents naturally pull the ship in the direction that the ship is polarized. D. Then it is not a magnet, but it is similar in principle. P. That is correct. D. What do you do when you take these flights with the ship? P. We do explorations, colonizations, supplies, helping, teaching. There are regular routes. There are the exploratory routes, the teaching routes. There are manufacturing routes where there are manufacturing companies is not the right word. There are manufacturing facilities on other planets. D. Do you mean you transport the finished goods back and forth? P. The finished goods, yes. There are trade routes, which should not come as a surprise. The cosmos is populated much more than the common person has any inkling of, or any idea about. The cosmos is extremely populated and well-traveled and utilized. The area of our home planet is more populated in what would be called inhabited planets. There are more inhabited planets per sector of space. In other words, it's a crowded place there. It really is. D. I was wondering if the Earth was on one of those routes. P. No. They were not even aware of the existence of this planet at that time. The spaceship, 23. D. Was it too far away? P. It simply was not in the immediate area of our explorations or transportations. D. I suppose it would be very much the way we are unaware of other planets. Probably we are not aware of the one that you are from. P. Very much so. We here on Earth are so far off the beaten path, and added to this fact our technology here has not progressed to the point where we can see this activity or detect it. We had opened the door, or perhaps it would be more accurate to call it a floodgate, to allow memories from outer space to come through. The initial experience had not been quite what I expected it to be. The description of the workings of the spaceship was too technical for me to grasp. I hoped by my fumbling questions that I was able to uncover something of interest to someone who would be able to understand this type of thing. The rich information which I have been able to receive in regressions with other subjects has always rested on my ability to question exhaustively about the time period or country or the event we encountered. I began to wonder whether or not I would be able to think of appropriate questions about such strange topics. Without the correctly worded questions, the answers will not come forth, or they will come forth only in fragments. Chapter 4, The Strange City. I knew we were making progress when he had been able to relive the life as the crewman that visited the planet of the lost colony. He was finally allowing these buried memories to surface. His subconscious was seeing that no harm was being done, and the information had come fast and furious, not haltingly as it had before. It was as though the barriers were being torn down, and he could hardly wait to tell me everything. There was no holding it back now, it was gushing forth. Thus at the beginning of the next session, when the elevator doors opened and again revealed the strange city with the towers, he no longer had any hesitancy to explore it. He eagerly stepped off the elevator into another world. I immediately grasped this as an excellent opportunity to interview an alien and find out about his life on another planet. P. I'm standing outside of the city again. There's green grass and I can see a short distance into the city. It's a downtown or living area in this city. I have lived here before, many times in another existence. The buildings are circular towers. This is the general architecture, but of all different sizes and heights. And they're connected laterally in places. They have windows on the sides at different levels, all around and grouped in clusters. But the buildings are not all alike. Some are warehouses or storage areas, and these are squat and round. See drawing. The taller ones are dwellings for the inhabitants. The exteriors are made of a silver metal which is mined in the planet. It is not the metal silver, but it is a silver appearance. It is a shimmering color which shines. 24, The Strange City, 25, and reflects in the sunlight. When it is purified to the level that is used for construction, it is malleable, easy to shape and work with even in the atmosphere or room temperature, as we would say here. D. Does it have a counterpart on Earth? P. Aluminum would be a component of this metal, however there are other contingents, minerals on this planet that do not exist on Earth. but aluminum would be closest to it. This is strictly for the exterior. There are more rigid and heavier metals for the frames of the building, which would be equivalent to steel. There is the interior framework or the skeleton, which is then added to produce the walls and floors and ceilings. And then the exterior is added to give it a shiny appearance. D. Why do they want it to be shiny? P. They have no reason to reflect. This is the current architecture and it is attractive. There is great conformity in the society. It is a general consensus that this is the way it will be done and it is enjoyed by most everyone, not everyone. And so this is the way it is done. D. It sounds beautiful, but I thought maybe it had a functional reason. P. The functionality of it is secondary to the appearance. Since he could describe the buildings so well, it was time to find out more about this planet. I asked if it had a sun. P. Yes, it does. It's much like this planet here, in fact. Not so many hills. There are plains, for the most part level plains. The planet's birth was not near as violent as was Earth's. We're a two moons planet. The sky has a greenish tinge, much like Earth has blue. There is water and wind and plants and trees. And a social structure, a word unclear, nefer? Structure. We would call the inhabitants human. Technically, they are of the human race, although they don't look a lot like humans here. They are terrestrials. In other words, they are beings of the physical nature instead of spirit or energy nature. These are physical beings incarnate in physical body in this physical planet. They walk upright and they have the same or similar circulatory, respiratory systems. D. Do they have arms and hands and legs? P. Yes, to legs, to arms and hands with five fingers. Very similar. 26. The keepers of the garden in form to human beings on this planet but with elongated, slender fingers by our standards. However, their packaging is different. Their bodies are tall and slender, bald with somewhat pointed ears. They have a shimmering skin, somewhat leathery or tough textured by human standards but very supple and pliable. The color is very light in nature, very light and shimmery. They have a much greater brain capacity and so their foreheads and upper head or cranial area is exaggerated by human standards. This is owing to the increased mental capacity. The eyes are very round, set close together and very good in darkness. Do the eyes have pupils like humans? They're brown, they're all brown and beady but they operate basically the same. How do the people communicate? Do they speak? There are words for emphasis or connotation, but the majority of communication is mental. Actually, empathic would be a more accurate term. It's like setting up vibrations in each other. A ringing feeling which many people nowadays on Earth are beginning to instill in themselves. These people are very telepathic and very aware in all senses, especially touch. Do you mean their hands are very sensitive? Yes, and not only their hands but their entire being is very sensitive. The skin area as a whole is more sensitive than by human standards. More so in the hands, for these areas are directors of energies. I asked for an explanation. Energy is directed through and received in the hands. This is similar to a chakra, simply using the hands as nodes of energy. What do they use this energy for? Many things: healing, communication, manifestation or physical movement. Many sensing perceptions are sensed with the energy through the hands. You said communications with the hands, do you mean the mental communication is directed through the hands? Not so. For this is telepathic in nature and emanates from within the head. However, sensing at a distance can be accomplished through the hands. There is also the ability to move things at a distance with the energy directed through the hands. A manifestation of movement. You mean similar to levitation? That is correct. Telekinesis. D, P, D, P, D, P, D, P, D, P, D, P. The Strange City. 27, 28. The Keepers of the Garden. D, is it accomplished over a leg area, long distances? P, it can be accomplished most readily in the immediate area. However, with proper training and attunement this could be accomplished through great distances, even stellar distances from off the planet. D. You said they have respiratory systems similar to ours. P. This is true, similar, but not exactly, or not equal to these here because of the content of the gases. The lungs here on Earth take in oxygen from the air and breathe out carbon dioxide.